Welcome to the SBCN podcast, a production of the Small Business Community Network, brought to you by Brad Poulos, small business coach, entrepreneurship professor, and author of the Small Business Operator's Manual, a guide to running your small business profitably.
Welcome to the SBCN Small Biz Podcast. I'm Linda Ockwell-Jenner, one of the co-founders of the Small Business Community Network. Today I have a very interesting guest, Robert Dice, who is a life insurance professional at Robert Dice Insurance Made Simple. I love that, Rob. Insurance Made Simple.
Thank you, Linda. But I can't claim that I'm the one that came up with that originally. I was working with my webmaster. We were working on building a new website. His name's Ken Braithwaite. And we did a bunch of conversations where we discussed how I did business and so on. Ken came back to me with Insurance Made Simple. He said, after discussing with you how you do your business and the way you look at things, it just seemed obvious that that was a good title for how you go about things. So I've stuck with that.
I love it because I'm the kind of person, I keep things simple as well. I don't see any point with my clients, you know, saying lots of big words and buzzwords and then them going to try and work it out. I believe it does in some way create trust with your clients because basically they know that even though you are making everything simple, because, you know, I have talked to insurance brokers, I've talked to, you know, insurance professionals, and sometimes I don't understand what they're going on about. So this would, for me, build trust with you because I feel like you understand my needs. Would that be right?
Well, that would be correct. The other thing that I do whenever I sit down with a new person, I try and get an understanding of what their level of insurance knowledge is. Some people are very well versed in how life insurance works. As they say, this is not their first rodeo. They have dealt with life insurance for many years. They've had different policies for different reasons over the years. But every once in a while, you'll run into someone who's really not that experienced or doesn't understand it all that clearly. So for me to understand where they're coming from and then speak to them in a language that works for them.
Yeah.
The other thing is that I'm a visual learner. I like stories. I like to see things. And so even though I can sit and I can read all the technical information, if you give me a story and show me how it works or explain to me how it works through a real life application, that's what I try and do with my clients as well.
You know, I've known you a long time, but we've only recently, I think, come together as such, and I'm finding out so much about you. And obviously, thank you for being a member of the Small Business Community Network. We love that, but it's allowing me to get to know you better. So, first of all, why did you get into this business, Rob? Why did you choose this kind of work?
Well, I had been involved in other projects and other industries for many, many years. And I had come to a point in my life where there was not really any further that I could go at that point. And so I was offered an opportunity to start working in group health, doing group health benefits plans for companies, and started working on that, got my license, started working on that. And I realized pretty quickly that individual life insurance and living benefits and so on was a much broader market. And that essentially I'm helping people. I'm giving them options. I'm giving them opportunities to find solutions that work for them. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've always loved, helping people. I've always had this little bit of an engineering thing in me where I like to figure things out. In working with clients, not one size fits all, of course. Mm-hmm. And working with clients, I get to help them solve their insurance problem.
I like that because obviously everybody's different. But for instance, you said a word then. What was the word? Did you say living insurance? What did you say? Says something about you know, insurance and a
life insurance. Insurance, living benefits,
Living benefits. What are living benefits? What does that mean for the purpose of our listeners?
That would be disability. Disability insurance is essentially income replacement. Or critical illness insurance is also a living benefit. Critical illness insurance is a type of insurance where should you become ill but survive, it's a tax-free payout. So cancers, heart, strokes, there's many different definitions that are covered. I see a lot of critical illness, especially with self-employed or with people that own their own corporations or key people in an organization. This is a way of protecting them and protecting the organization should somebody become ill. And not a lot of people know a lot about those sorts of plans. They do have their place, especially for those people that work for themselves.
I was going to ask you that. So do you primarily work for people who are self-employed, the smaller organizations, say, or do you work for the, you know, large corporations and offer like a package? How does it work?
I work with basically everybody. There is one key thing that I find goes through the minds of my clients, and that is a curiosity. They want to understand how this works, and they want to understand that they've got a solution in place. So all of my clients have that kind of curiosity. They may not want to know how to do it themselves, but they want to understand that it is working for them. But I work for people that are self-employed. I work for people who are involved in small corporations, corporate owners, families, young families. I do a lot of work with investment and insurance plans for children as well. That's the one thing that's really interesting about insurance. There is so much that you can do with it. It's so many different ways of applying insurance. Yesterday, I sat in on a seminar that was based around the new taxation rules in Ontario with respect to transferring ownership of a corporation to a family member. Some of the different tax legislations that are going to be imposed. So using life insurance as a way of funding that, or a way of softening the tax blow, if you will. It was a really interesting course.
Let me ask you a question then. So I know there's different types of life insurance. So if someone uses their life insurance, you know, for the transfer of the corporation, then does that leave them with no life insurance?
No, because you can have multiple insurance plans.
Is that like when you have an RRSP, say, and you can take it out because you want to maybe put a deposit on a house, but then you have to pay it back? Is that kind of the same thing?
No, not quite. An insurance plan, say in a corporate scenario, could be something where the corporation has excess cash that they're not able to get at. You know, like there's corporate tax involved. So if you own a small corporation, you've paid tax on the money that corporation has already earned. If you want to take that money out of the corporation, you either have to declare it as salary or as a dividend. So if you create an insurance plan that the corporation owns, but you insure that life, that's one way of being able to transfer a legacy to dependents down the road. And also, for example, in the case of transferring ownership, if the owner of a corporation, a small corporation, wants to transfer ownership to a son, daughter, niece, nephew, etc., there's going to be taxes owed.
Yeah.
So a life insurance policy is a way of offsetting some of that tax that will come due.
Ooh, that's good. I know somebody I'm going to introduce you to now, Rob.
let me say up front, I am an insurance broker first and foremost. Yeah. I am not a tax professional. However, I do have tax professionals that I call upon when I need to.
Good, because if you said to me you were the one and only and you knew everything, I'd say, no one knows everything, Rob. I like the fact, though, that you still go to seminars and you still are updating your skill set, and you're not kind of stuck in the when you first started, this is the way we did it, because some people do that, you know.
Well, the insurance industry is changing constantly. The carriers are evolving. For example, prior to COVID, we did everything on paper. I would show up at your place with 40 pages that we would complete and sign and create, doing ink as they, wet signatures. Now I can do everything digitally. All the carriers are pretty much on board. They've figured out the security protocols necessary to make those sorts of things work. The taxes, for example, I just mentioned that the new budget, the federal budget that just came out last week, there are changes constantly to the Tax Act, provincially and federally. And so our industry has to adjust and evolve to keep up with those things. Because as someone very wise once told me, it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep. So we're always looking for ways of trying to minimize our tax exposure in a legal way.
Yeah, and I love, obviously, that it's a legal way, because there are scammers out there. But I know you're not a scammer, because I've checked you out, Rob. No, but seriously, I didn't know this bit, you know, and I know that you said you could, you know, if any of your clients want to go this way, you've got people who can give them advice, which is wonderful. You're building partnerships. So when you first got into this business, I know you've got a lot of loyalty now and people trust you. But how did you start off? What did you do, you know, in those first, you know, the first year maybe to build the trust and get people to want to work with you as a client?
Well, the one thing that, my father always instilled in me from a very young age was to be humble. And so what I would do is I would have conversations with people and I would listen. I would ask questions and listen. If you ask the right questions and if you listen and pay attention, people will tell you their entire life story.
I know. It's good, isn't it?
You just have to be willing to listen to it. And I think that the other thing that I've said before, I am not a salesman.
No.
I've never been a salesman. And when I have tried to be a salesman, I'm not a good one.
Me too.
what I try and do is provide people with information so that they can make a good decision. I don't push anybody. Life insurance, living benefits, and so on. These are things that you have to decide when it's the right time for you. And many times there's an unfortunate incident in your life that might push you forward that way. But I like to think that I give people the information that they need to make good decisions. And then I'm there to support them.
I get that. That sounds wonderful, but it seems so simple. So one of the reasons we started the SBC and Small B podcast is obviously to help our members get more exposure, and you're one of those, obviously, but also our listeners to get more information and know the facts. So let's imagine somebody out there wants to do what you do, wants to start a business doing what you do, Rob. So would they... Let's say, for instance, they're a younger person, a younger individual, straight out of university, whatever. Would they be able to go on Facebook and make a Facebook page or something, say, hey, I can help you with your insurance? Surely there's a step before that, because Facebook and social media is a big place. It's like a big pond, isn't it? And how to be seen in that big pond is quite difficult these days. So how did you do it? How were you first noticed? How did you find your first client? Did they find you?
Well, the first thing, of course, they have to do is become licensed. There's a series of courses that they have to take and a series of exams that they have to pass. Then they also have to get, we work with what's called an MGA, which is a managing general agency. They are the people that are between ourselves and the insurance companies that help to facilitate our paperwork. So they have to sign on with an MGA. They have to have errors and omissions insurance. They have to have a clean background check, police check, security check. They can't have any blemishes on their system with regards to finance or the law.
Yeah.
Of any kind. And they, you know, somebody really, if you're in it to make a lot of money, this is not the right business for you to be in. You can make a very good living doing this. It's hard work. But you have to be in the business of wanting to help people. And I realize that that word help gets overused a lot. Guide people, advise people, consult people, any of those kinds of terms work as well.
I'm with you. Yeah.
But you really have to decide that this is something that you want to do. It is a lifelong learning process. The learning just does not stop. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I've learned is, as much as I learn about stuff, there is always somebody who knows a little bit more about it than I do. And I like to keep them on speed dial, as they say.
But how did people find you? How did you? So I guess when you started this business, social media was up and running, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Social media, I would say that the bulk of my clients come from people that I meet.
Where'd you meet them, in real life or on social media?
In real life, in networking events like SBCN and other networking events that I've attended. Also, you know, friends, people that I've known for many, many years would reach out and say, hey, can you help me with this? Or do you know about that? A lot of referrals. A lot of my clients will refer a friend or a relative. I think it's just a matter of showing up and being truthful and being honest, being there, being present, listening. Like as I say, I never try and sell. Mm-hmm. I'm there to guide, to help. If you need my help, I'm there. If you don't need my help, carry on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's grab coffee and talk about life instead.
So I guess to some people, it might seem like a lot of hard work. As you say, somebody's not going to be rich, super duper rich out of it, but they can make a good living, pay the bills. That's very much the way I think. That's why I chose, the career I'm in. But a lot of people might think, wow, I've got to keep updated with this and keep updated with that. It's a lot of hard work. So you obviously love what you do. You've built loyalty with your clients. You have a very good brand. People know you. People recognize you. I didn't know you very well, as I said in the beginning. I used to think, I'd like to know more about Rob, but we never really, connected in that sense. And then when you became a member, I was quite taken with you. So I guess that proves to our listeners that you have to actually do something and get out of your bubble and meet people so they get to know the real you, like you have, Rob, and it's really paid off for you. So I'm so proud of you. If there's anything you wanted to leave with our listeners, maybe a quote, a tip or anything, what would it be before we finish the podcast?
Well, there was an interest, speaking of another one of my learning sessions, there was an interesting statistic that I ran into the other day. And that is that it was a 2021 survey, and 77% of Canadians who have dependents, so that would be someone who has a partner or a spouse or who has children, dependent children, that they are caring for, 77% are unprepared if they were to die or they were to become ill.
Oh.
And that is a scary number to me. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, being the insurance guy, you would think, okay, well, he's going to be talking about insurance, but that also includes having a will.
Yeah.
Having a power, both powers of attorney. And they sound scary, but they're not. They're really not. It's not a tough process. And then, of course, it does get into insurance. Like if you are the breadwinner of your family and you don't come home tonight, how does your family get on? Can they pay the bills? Can they get by without you, without your salary? I mean, the loss is going to be devastating, of course. That's given. Mm-hmm. But we have to carry on in life. Life cannot stop at that point. So in terms of going forward, we're all going to die. We just don't know when. Mm-hmm. That stuff is going to happen. We just don't know when. So to prepare yourself and have those plans in place make dealing with that kind of stuff so much easier. And it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be confusing. You just have to have the right person to help guide you through it. And anybody that has any questions at all, I'm more than happy to speak to them about any concerns they have, any information, help dispel any of the myths and rumors they may have heard about insurance, and how it really can help them.
That's a really good way to leave. But before you leave, how can people contact you, Rob?
Well, my website is robertdice.ca or insurancemadesimple.ca, or you can find me on Instagram, Robert C. Dice, or you can find me on Facebook, Robert Dice, Insurance Made Simple, or LinkedIn. I'm pretty much everywhere, and I'm probably the only Dice, D-I-C-E, that you're going to meet today.
I think so, and that's a really cute name in the sense that, you know, I'm not a gambler, but I know what a dice is. I've played with a dice with children's games, you know, Monopoly and stuff. So this is the biggest thing I say to people. If you haven't got anything about your brand that's memorable, you've got to work that a little bit harder. Rob, I hope you can come back when you're not so busy and explain more about the different insurance policies and stuff like that. Today, I really, really wanted our listeners to find out more about you, how you got into the business, why you got into the business. And it's been really eye-opening for me as well. So thank you for your time, Rob.
Well, thank you for having me, Linda. It's been lovely to speak with you. And I look forward to the next SBCN meeting and having more great conversations with you.